every time I bring up my favorite movie or song, y'all call my shit corny. You act like I don't have no taste and no flavor. I'm a Luddite or some bullshit like that. What kind of particular shit is that? It's the shit I like. That's what I like. That's my type of shit. You know? Why don't you know y'all just say something nice?
It's showtime.
He has a really wide mouth.
I'm going to pretend I never heard that.
He does. You've noticed, haven't you noticed?
No, I just noticed that he's sweaty.
He can combine those two things together. Makes for a very good, interesting fetish video. Whatever.
I'm sure John Boyega is a very wholesome, respectable gentleman who does not do such things.
Wholesome Christian man.
He doesn't have to be Christian. He could just be respectable without being Christian.
I'm sure he's a freak.
I'm recording this.
I know you're recording this. That's fine.
Why don't you start the show, please? Before you have a whole entire orgy on my couch over there.
It's like...
You and John Boyega, imaginary John Boyega, have to run out of my own house in sure. Shame.
That's what people want. People want John Boyega, Winston Duke, right? And what's that dude from?
Michael B. Jordan.
And Michael B. Jordan. They want these three people.
All you got to do is put on some Gloria Estefan and take care of at least a third of that.
Shake your body. No, that's not
him. Rhythm is gonna get you. 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 Tonight. Ba-ba-ba-ba-da. Intro the show, please. Are we?
Hello. This is Atlanta Season 2. Episode 3.
What podcast is this?
Oh, I'm sorry. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Say Something Nice podcast. I am your host, Ali, and I am joined by...
the nigga who pays the rent here, Brandon.
Brandon. And we appreciate that he's paying the rent.
He's in my house, y'all.
We appreciate that he's paying the rent.
Get him out.
Because that's where all the good equipment is.
Lord Jesus. You don't even tell... Now I can tell people where I live. Thank you, Ali.
What?
I don't want people coming to get the good equipment.
Yeah, but they don't know where you are.
I live on Mars, y'all.
There you go.
Me and John Carter. You know he's racist?
I thought he was going to say John Boyega.
Carter.
Okay.
John Carter of Mars.
John Boyega isn't upstairs hiding?
No. You know John Carter was a Confederate soldier?
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Huh, that's probably for another podcast.
Yep. He was created by Edgar Rice Burroughs, who also created Tarzan. So.
Okay.
Yeah. Hmm. All right, but yeah, so we're not here to talk about
bars.
Edgar Rice Burroughs. We're here to talk about Atlanta.
Yes. Atlanta Season 2, Episode 3. Brennan, what is the title of this episode?
What is the title of the damn episode? Hold on. I thought I knew. Ooh, gosh. What's the name of we're supposed to be prepared. Be prepared. Yes, our teeth and ambitions are
there. I knew I was missing something.
It's fine. It's fine. I will stall. I'm stalling. Be prepared. Atlanta, Season 2, Episode 3, Moneybagg Shawty.
Okay. Is that a song title?
Listen, we're squares, four corners. I don't know. I'm about to Google it. That's what Google is for.
Because I feel like that is a... Yeah, that's too...
It is a song. It's a song by Gucci Mane.
Okay. Oh, so that's Van's reference in the limo. Okay, there you go. All right, cool. I see.
He's not my preferred rapper. I'm sorry.
Well, I don't listen to a lot of music in general. I think the folks who've been listening for a while, See Something Nice, they know
No, you listen to soundtracks. You got your thing.
Okay, I listen to movie soundtracks.
And you listen to any record that has a wah-wah pedal in it.
So man, will I ever?
So one day Gucci Mane's gonna make a whole album. It's gonna be wah-wah pedal. And you're gonna know the whole thing. Be like, Brandon, I heard the most wonderful album today. It's called Gucci Mane.
I swear, guys.
Drive Turkey Sucker.
I swear I try my best not to sound like I'm an extra on Coming to America. But Brandon
stay. People part of a shit.
But Brandon stay trying to fit me into this square peg.
And you're around. You're trying to be fit into square peg. Are you the round hole? You know, you had the backwards, right?
Okay, fine.
It's the round hole.
And the square peg. There yeah. you go.
Good job. All right. Talk about the somebody episode.
Right. So, yeah. Why don't we talk about the episode? So, first of all right. So, I've been waiting to see Van. Just a preliminary. You know, we haven't seen Van for two episodes now. This is her first appearance on this season two. We know that Zazie Beetz, who plays Vanessa, she is a busy woman.
Mm-hmm.
She's been busy, okay? I think the next time we're going to see on the big screen is in the next Deadpool movie. She'll be playing
Domino.
Domino. Yeah.
Yeah. So, she was also in Geostorm, bless her heart.
Okay.
I mean, she got paid. Long as it's cleared, it's fine.
Here's the deal. I am concerned about whether she's making money and that she's able to keep a roof over her head and food in her belly.
And I'm sure she's fine. She's making money. That pyramid mommy
that
money.
That pyramid mommy money. She's making money. That pyramid mommy money. Yeah. Shout out to Teen Titans Go. Yeah. But yeah, so I've been waiting for her for two episodes now because I really liked her character in season one. And I really like how she and Earn, played by,
names. They don't have names on the island. Yeah. They just look at each other and just like you boy there.
Played by Donald Glover. Okay. I nearly gave myself a fucking brain aneurysm.
Don't do that. Just to get a well star on this side of town.
Really? Anywho. But yeah, so yeah, like I said, I really like how these two characters play off of each other. So yeah, I was waiting to see her again, and you know, she didn't disappoint. Anyway, so this episode basically starts off with a bang. There is a parody video, or this opening scene where basically a white woman. She is
the whitest white woman.
She is played to be a stereotypical white woman, and she is complaining about a rap song that she was forced to listen to. She and her daughter were forced to listen to on the radio in the car on the way to school, basically. And she uses that excuse to go ahead and talk through the lyrics of the first couple of lines in the song. And she doesn't miss a beat, according to Brandon. She makes sure that she definitely verbalizes the word nigga, and she does not say, she doesn't use the A.
That word fell out of her mouth like an acorn off a tree.
Yeah. She uses the hard ER, doesn't she?
No, she used the A.
She used the A?
Yeah.
Oh, she tried to.
She was quoting the song.
Yeah. Anywho, but yeah, so this is her getting a release from, you know what? I'm tired of always saying this word under my breath. I'm about to say this word online.
She don't say that word under her. I think about looking at her. She don't say that word under her breath. She just say it around her people.
Ooh. All right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Put a rag on the floor to catch all this tea that you want to spill. Anywho.
We just stand over the sink. It's fine.
But anyways, yeah. So, basically, you know, this this video goes how you would expect it, right? It's basically viral. Another, you know, it's a viral, it's an Instagram story that is apparently going viral in the Atlanta universe right now. And basically, it plays how you would expect it to play. She's indignant. You know, she can't believe that this is something that her child is subjected to, you know, on the radio. Even though she could literally just change the station.
No, she had to listen to the whole thing.
So she had to listen to the whole thing.
Maybe she was in traffic.
And her car only had one radio station.
Maybe she was like in traffic going 70 miles per hour. She couldn't change.
She couldn't change. So she had to suffer through it.
Yeah, she had to suffer through the negrosity.
Yeah, yeah. And apparently, she says that there's profanity in the song. But she says that it's something that's going to be affecting her child for the rest of their life. But clearly her child is in the background of the video.
As she's reciting
the lyrics, the plain lyrics this time. Note that in the song, I'm pretty sure that the lyrics...
Bleep, 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 bleep,
the lyrics go so fast and there's so many bleeping that you probably wouldn't even have noticed the profanity. But she decided that she was going to get the raw version.
You know what really set her off is that last line.
Colin Kaepernick.
Shout Colin Kaepernick. And she started crying. Yeah. This is where it gets really crazy, guys. White people. We ain't sorry, but you got to get over it. Colin Kaepernick's black.
Sorry.
I'm sorry that he... I ain't sorry. Why do you keep saying... I've been programmed. I've been conditioned. Mm-hmm. You see, the white man technology got me conditioned to apologize to him. You see, I got to not be doing that shit. I got to do that shit. Nope, nope, nope. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Brandon, we was kings.
We was kings. We was wolves. I forgot when somebody had a meme and said, well, I would have just put this Hotep dogs. They said, we was wolves. but for real though, white people, Colin Kaepernick, he tricked white people into thinking, oh, he's one of the nice ones. And then when he realized that things were fucked up and his girlfriend pointed him in the right direction, all of a sudden he started going to supercuts. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he got that blowout.
Yeah.
Well, it's just, yeah, good job. Yeah, so, and I was telling Brandon before the show started, like, it never really hit me, the indignation from what I was getting from looking at media news about Colin Kaepernick, until I was actually in an office, you know, full of other white people. At an undisclosed place that, you know, I would hear, you know, in passing, how, you know, hey, whatever team that he's on, you know, we hope his team,
49ers, I knew that.
Yeah, we hope his team, you know, just like crashes and burns, right? Or we're about to. One person literally told me that they were heading to a bar one night to watch a game, just so every time he shows up on screen, they can boo him.
Pressed.
And I was like...
Like what? Fresh linen shirts.
And you know the funny part about that is... I am not white passing. Right? I mean...
No.
I don't look white passing. Brandon, I mean... Do you feel... I mean, if you feel differently, tell me now.
No.
Okay. So...
You're a little Negro child.
Right. Okay. So when you telling me this as a white person, and you literally, and she didn't even miss a beat, she looked at me like as if like,
You're supposed to agree with her?
Yeah, like I'm supposed to agree with her. Like, oh, good job. Like, oh man, you're really doing.
Maybe she thought you were one of the good ones, like Ben Carson.
Right. I was supposed to say like, oh man, you're doing the Lord's work.
You know that color. Good job. Kaepernick,
you know. So and you know, things. Of course, I'm not here to get this money fucked up. So
I made that pyramid money.
So you know, so I was like, okay, and I just
it's just that.
But yeah, so that was that opening scene basically. Becky with the good hair.
Was it good?
Well, you know
it
what?
It looked stringy to me.
Becky out here trying to champion for her child, and it going viral, and it inadvertently, as the next scene proves, shoots Paperboy's ratings through the roof.
Yeah.
With his latest song. And so him and Earn. What? Oh no. What happened again? Brandon, why is this?
Donald Glover?
No, not that.
Darius.
I missed Noah. No, I was missing a scene. Oh no, there wasn't. It goes straight into it.
You're missing a commercial.
No, it's going straight into it, yeah. Anyways. So it's going straight into the scene, and Darius and Earn and Paperboy, they're toasting to the fact that, you know, her viral video, it's making him extremely popular. So that's all great and everything. And in comes the crux, the event that's literally going to catapult what Earn is going through for the rest of the episode, right? Which is basically being stunted on. In comes one of the guys, the waiters, whatever, and he's, you know, basically asking them, hey, he's offering them more drinks, more shots. And in the process of doing so,
he's pretending to notice Paperboy.
He's pretending like, oh my God, wait a second.
Aren't you Paperboy?
Aren't you Paperboy? What? And so then he moves swiftly into pitching something to Paperboy, some business, because he wants to get put on. Earn, before the guy is even able to get everything out, Earn slides on in and is like, we're actually on break, only to get the most dramatic, man, fuck you, that I have ever seen on a show in my life. I was like, that's even loud enough to even have the other people in the bar be like,
yeah. That's what he's like, man, fuck you. And he turns to Paperboy. He's like, put me on.
I was like, and again, I keep telling Thirsty. Brandon this. Al, aka Paperboy, he has the best what the fuck faces in the show.
He'd be his trailer patches and faces, I'm sure.
His mouth is hanging open slightly because his eyes are darting like, and he's just like, what the fuck is going on?
Then that nigga got called away to get an order. He's like, I'll be right there, sir.
Yeah. And he switched it up.
But no, he's walking away. He looks back like,
he gave him that crazy eyes. So yeah. So basically that happens, and it's left the group just a little bit shook. So but the point of the matter is, you know, Earn is fed up because here he is, he wants to be
recognized
more, you know, he wants to be recognized, he wants people to respect him, right? And he feels that for too long he's not getting he's not getting the respect that he deserves, right? So, you know, he throws this at Paperboy, and Paperboy basically tells him, hey, this is Atlanta. It's really easy to do this, right? All you just need is some money. And that's pretty much it. You have money and you start throwing money around, people are gonna respect you, right? Mind you, though, this is half the advice, because the second half of the advice is coming later on in the episode. Earn takes basically this first part of the advice and runs with it completely. Runs right into the next scene, right? Mm-hmm. So the next scene is basically, you know, we see Zazie Beetz for the first time this season. As Van, she's at home chilling. It's Earn. Earn is at home. Shouldn't it be? No.
Earn's at her house and she comes home.
Yeah, so that's basically what it is. And basically, the funny thing is the running theme with this episode is basically there's going to be countless of occasions when people are either stunting or people are being stunted on, right? Mm-hmm. So count number one was, you know, Earn at the bar. And here in comes Van with number two. She basically talks about how she has a friend from work, right? And the friend got them, they got Beyonce tickets, but her friend happened to lock out and get really, really good seats, right? But unfortunately, that one extra seat, she's not able to get Van that one extra seat, so that way they can all be together. And Van's pissed because her friend, instead of saying, forget about it, I'll forego that seat, I'll see everybody else, her friend's like, nah, we can probably just catch up after the after the show. And so, you know, obviously, much to her chagrin. And so, again, Earn calls out and he's like, you see, she was stunting on you. No, I feel like as if I should preface this by saying, I have literally never heard that phrase until I watched this episode. And Brandon had to explain this to me. Brandon, for the people who are not just squares, but are literally hex, like tetrahedrons, the people who are tetrahedrons out there.
It's fine. Go ahead. Keep saying it. Go ahead. It's fine.
Explain what stunting on means.
I mean, basically, it's like, I got money, you don't. It's that simple.
Okay.
Like showing, the white people will say, showing people up.
Okay. Cool. So, yeah. So, Earn calls it out. Boom. You got stunted on. She's like, yeah, I got stunted on. And all in, while this is happening, Earn gets a letter and it's basically a check. I'm not too sure if that was a check from...
I couldn't tell from the text.
Was it managing Paperboy or could it be for something else? I don't know what it is.
Whatever it was money. So
yeah,
that's what was.
Yeah, the point is it was money and that's the driving force that's going to assist Earn in his endeavor this episode, basically. Yeah.
Right? I mean, his whole character is about trying to get money anyway. You know, that's why the character literally is named Earn.
Ernest Earn. Yeah. There you go. So anyways, Earn decides, you know what? I'm done. We're gonna have a good time with this money, right? We're gonna be the ones stunning on everybody else. Let's go out. Let's go have a good time,
mm-hmm.
right? Slide into the next scene.
Because it'll be easiest for to follow the show to follow Earn's storyline
mm-hmm.
and Paperboy storyline separately until they converge.
All right, cool. All right, in that case, then let's go with Paperboy. Well, actually, no, you can't really do that.
Stick with Earn.
Well, you can't really do that when they converge because literally the next Earn scene is where him and Paperboy converge. Yeah, because that's it. That's it for because the only time the next time that Earn.
No, what I'm saying is that let's talk about Earn and Vanessa
mm-hmm.
going to their places.
And, until they actually meet up with... Okay.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
And then talk about Paperboy and Darius.
When they actually meet up with them.
Right.
All right, cool. All right, so the next time we see Van and Earn, they're basically... So this is their first stop on what should be a whirlwind, you know, adventure through Atlanta. Just throwing money at everything, you know, and just catching that cool breeze that comes with respect, right? Mm-hmm. So... There they are. They're at the movie theater, you know, and they're trying to see this Fast and Furious movie, right? Okay, cool. So they're at the ticket booth. They're about to get tickets. First opportunity, the woman tells him, hey, you can get VIP tickets or you get regular. Van's like, ooh, what's VIP? Earn's like, you know what? Fuck it. We're going to get VIP. He pulls out a $100 crisp $100 bill, gives it to the woman, and she's like, no, we don't accept bills that large here. We don't. We don't do that. So,
did you make note of the woman of her?
Yes, of her particular ethnicity.
Yes,
she was.
Yes, the race, y'all.
She was. Yeah, she was. She was that.
She was palm side.
White.
She was palm side.
Yeah,
not backhand side.
She was palm side, y'all.
Yes.
So, yeah. So, you know, she said in her very practiced voice, you know, we don't accept bills at large here. So, Aaron's like, what? Okay, fine. Whatever. I'll just use my debit card. Okay, cool. He uses his debit card. She says, can I see? She wants to know. She wants his ID and driver's license because she says that they need every time someone shows their or pays with their debit card, they need to make a copy of the driver's license and the debit card in the system.
She a Brie and Ritz lie.
That is some bullshit. Because and Earn follows it up correctly by saying, I don't want my driver's license and my, you know, and my debit card or my credit card, just copies of it all over the city. That doesn't make any sense, right? No, I will admit here.
What they're doing is they're caricaturing. Nobody actually does this, but what they're saying, yeah, they're giving him a hard time.
Yeah. So basically, the whole point is Ernest is supposed to have a hard time here. Yeah. Now, mind you, though, he could have probably gotten himself out of this, like, if it wasn't for his ego, because Van does offer to just, she's like, you know what? I got cash.
Yeah.
Let me just pay for it. But Ern needs this. He needs a W, right? So he presses it and he's just like, you know what? Fine, whatever. We'll figure something else out. It's cool. But here's the real kicker, because this is what happens when basically they are about to walk away. They're walking away, and would you believe this guy, and I swear, Brandon, he's wearing a Texan hat too. Isn't he wearing a cowboy hat?
I thought he didn't have no hat on.
I could have sworn he was wearing a cowboy hat.
But it was just important that he was older
white man with a sports coat, comes right after Ern, buys a ticket, and pulls out a crisp $100 bill.
Now he got no hat on.
He didn't have any hat on? Okay, that's fine. Yeah. The same thing.
Imagine a hat because you racist against white people.
Dude, listen, okay?
Sorry. All right?
I was a gray wolf once. Okay. I was a gray wolf. So I will act accordingly. Thank you. Put some respect on it. Anyways, but yeah. So the white man comes right after them, pays it for a $100 bill, and is promptly given a ticket, right? With cash, with his cash back, with his change back. Ern's like, oh no, this is some bullshit. So he goes up to the man, and I think Ern's intention is, before even the transaction went through, Ern wants to let the guy know that, hey, dude, just FYI, I tried to do the same thing a while ago. They're going to tell you that they don't accept these. But before Ern could even get out a couple of words, that white man flashed him a gun, a holstered gun, on his belt.
Mm-hmm.
Ern was like, okay, let's go. Okay. Message received. Message received, let's go. Van, get the keys. Let's go.
Get the keys, man. Van, the keys.
Like, let's go.
Well, she's got the keys. She's not Rose.
So, yeah. So, that was some blatant caricature of racism right there, right? They really don't have any reason. No, mind you, though, this looks like a really upscale theater.
It looks like Cine Bistro. Is it Cine Bistro? Let me take a look at that. No, it's not Cine Bistro.
No, because Cine Bistro, the one on Brookhaven? The one in Brookhaven?
It's not Cine Bistro, I don't think. But it's Cine Bistro-ish. It's Cine Bistro.
Yeah, because the counter at the one in Brookhaven is small and quaint. It's not like that open counter, open air all around the counter.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah. So the funny thing, the other thing I want to point out too, like, dude, you can feel the strange vibe coming off of this. And I think it's one of those things that, you know, we as black people encounter time and time again, where it's like, even though it's not like blatant, overt, and offensive racism, you get this feeling like you're not wanted.
Yep.
Right? Like as if you're doing something wrong, even to the point where it's almost like as if you should apologize for literally being in that space, right? And that's the vibe I got when I was watching this, and it just made my skin crawl a little bit, right? And even Ern pointed out whilst they were there, it's like, don't you get a strange vibe from this place? And, you know, Vanessa, I don't know what crowd she runs with or you know, if
you
she
remember last year, she wants to hang out with bougie people, but she can't quite get up to
it. She can't hang like that.
Right.
Not yet. Right. So she was just like, no, it's just, you know, it's just kind of, it's strange. Let's just go. And then, you know, followed up with that blatant, you know, that scene right there just proves that, hey, yeah, you were being singled out. But anyways, so here's the deal. They're going to be like, that's fine. Let's just try something new. So they decide, okay, let's try a hookah bar. All right, cool. So come to the hookah bar. You know, this scene looks a little better for them. You know, there's more, you know, more POC, more folks that look like us, which is cool. You're right. They give him a super pat down. at the door. That Pat Dawn was just like, pow, 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 pow. Brandon, I was like, wow, if Earn was a skinnier dude, yeah, it felt like as if like…
Assault.
If, yeah, I mean, even though it was a brother that was doing it too, but it just felt… It felt a little too aggressive for a pat down. I mean, I've been patted down before I go into clubs before, and it wasn't like that. So, anywho. But anyways, he pays, he gets in, and so he pays this time again because Earn really needs, he really needs to prove to Van that this is legal tender. So he uses the same $100 bill again. Boom. He pays it. He gets his cash back change. Okay, cool. That's great. They're in the bar. They, you know, they're musing about what kind of flavor hookah they want to use. Suddenly, two security dudes come up and they're like, actually, it wasn't security dudes. It was actually police officers because they were their uniforms were police officers uniforms. They came up to them and was like, "Were you the one who paid the $100 bill just a while ago?" "Yeah, I was." "That's fake." He was like, "Bullshit. That's not fake. Let me talk to the manager." The manager, this African dude, he holds it up to the light. You see every single…
On an invisible strip.
All of the things that you're supposed to see that proves that this is an authentic US $100 bill. And this dude is like, "No, it's still fake." He's like, "But you see the watermark."
No, you he put didn't say, it, "No, it's still fake." "No, it's still fake.
It's fake." He's like, "But the watermark. You put it there." What?
You see, after he got kicked out of Wakanda, you know, he's having hard times making it in America now.
Oh, he's on that bullshit. So here's the deal. So Earn is like, "You know those markers that you can use? You can just swipe it across?" He's like, "Why don't you use one of those?" The guy's like, "No, I don't have one of those." He's like, "Okay, fine. Why don't you get another $100 bill?
We really not have it.
Get another $100 bill and compare it." "We don't have $100 bills at the registers." I was like, "The seriously? Really?"
It's just amusing to hear you do another accent.
Really?
Yeah. It's a good job.
Well, that's how you always mimic me anyway.
I don't know what you're talking about.
That is how you always mimic me.
I always mimic you.
We're about to have a 5-minute break while Brandon and I scrap.
I'll win.
So here's the deal. So he's like, "Okay, you know what? Fuck it. We're leaving." So him and Van are outside. They're about to leave. And wouldn't you know, the same police officer that escorted them outside, he's like, "Hey, man, we both knew, you know, that it was a real $100 bill, but we don't know why that guy was tripping. Anyway, have a good night."
Jesus Christ.
Listen. I was just like… Earn is not going to catch a break tonight, is he? He's not. Oh, so, no. So anywho, so Earn is at this point, he's literally fed up, right? Even though Van is protesting him, just, "Dude, just drop it. Don't worry about the $100 bill. Just, let's just use regular cash. Let's just use regular currency." And he's like, "No, it's a principle of it. My money should be just as good as everybody else's money." "Okay, fine." He's like, "You know what? I know where we can go that everybody will appreciate somebody with money. And it's to the strip club, to Onyx," right? All right. So let's just put on pause for a second because we need to go over to what Pierboy is doing with Darius, right?
Yeah.
So far, we've seen that Earn and Van have been stunted on at least… This is the fourth time in this episode. This is the fourth time someone's been stunted on. Right. So the first time, right, is the first time is in Van's the first time is at the bar. Second time is in Van's apartment. She talks about her friend. The third time is at the
movie theater,
and the fourth time is at this hookah bar. Right.
Yeah.
All right. So that's four times in total. Next, move over to Darius and Pierboy. They are over at Clark County Studios. They are chilling
and
over there.
For the record, my sister tweeted us and said there actually is a Clark County in Georgia. Because the reason I didn't find it was I was Googling C-L-A-R-K. Mm-hmm. It's C-L-A-R-K-E.
Okay.
And it's where Athens is. It's literally like 100 miles from here.
Oh, okay. So that's… Wait, so is that the county that Athens, Georgia is in?
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right. Cool. All right. In that case then. Anyways, but yeah. So Clark County, they're in his studios. They're chilling with him. And something that another podcast brought up that I was, that I, it made me think. I didn't really think about that when I saw the episode the first time. But when I saw it the second time, it made me kind of wonder. And they were saying that, hey, why is Paperboy and Darius at this guy's studio without Earn? Shouldn't Earn, the manager, be there whenever Paperboy is making any kind of business transaction or at least doing anything regarding, you know, any kind of music related anything?
It would be ideal.
Because I, you know, I just feel like as if, because during the process of this scene, it seems like Clark County really wants Paperboy to be on one of his songs.
Yep.
Right? So if that's the case, then your manager should be there to work out whatever kind of schedule, you know, contracts and all that kind of, you know, the all the busy work, the legal jargon that goes into actually, you know, making a collaboration happen. But Earn isn't there. So that's kind of weird. Anyways, moving on.
Well, to be fair, Clark County's manager isn't there either.
Yeah, but that's his studio. He's at his studio.
Good point.
You know, so, you know, I'm just saying. It's just interesting to note. This may come back in a subsequent episode. We don't know.
Oh no, they're building up to a showdown between Paperboy and Earn
about Earn.
Earn being his manager anymore.
Right. So because in any case, in that same scene, well, we'll talk about it later. Anyways, the point is though, he shows up and it's very apparent that Clark County is all about stunting on Paperboy. Very apparent from the very first time they meet up. They meet up, they're talking, and boom! What does he have conveniently on the table? He has a set of freshly printed Harriet Tubman bills. And now Brandon has completely reassured me that bills of Harriet Tubman have not yet been in circulation.
And if that person whose name we will not mention has
don't do it here, because you know what I will not have you is putting any kind of Bloody Mary bullshit into this episode.
He already said, but you know, but yeah, but like Clark County's like, yeah, my mom works at the Treasury. She got some before they stopped making it. So I guess in the universe
they had already started making them.
Yeah,
yeah. So he has them, and you know what a surprise! They're conveniently on the table for everyone to see. So clearly, you know, this is rare. This isn't just any bills. These are rare bills, you know. Boom. Stunted on. Already, Al is already feeling insecure. Darius, however, I hardly ever feels insecure about anything.
He feels everything.
He feels everything, but nothing at the same time. I'm just saying. Okay? Right. So anyways, so that's the initial thing right here. And yeah, so here's the deal. So Clark County is basically saying, hey, while I'm in the studio, I'm about to freestyle. You want to get in on this? What do you want? And so I was like, yeah, sure. But just before, let me get into the mood. Let me get into the mindset, right? So he has a joint. He wants to smoke a joint. And he wants to, you know.
It's a blunt, Ali.
Hmm?
It's a blunt.
You're really about here going to. We're going to have this. We're going to have this on semantics, aren't we? Go ahead.
He has marijuana. It's fine. Go ahead.
Damn it, Brandon. Why are you supposed to show me as a square?
Well, I mean, you're a wholesome, upstanding American citizen.
Am I the
naturalized?
Naturalized. Anywho. So he wants to. So clearly this is an opportunity for you realize that perhaps this is an opportunity that Al is gonna, you know, offer an olive branch. Well, they weren't in competition. Well, yes, technically speaking, they kind of are.
They're frenemies.
But, you know, this is Al's opportunity to be like, hey, we're cool. We smoke. We drink. You know, we'll have a good time. You know, we can forge a relationship or a working relationship here, right? So Al offers him, you know, a smoke. And, you know, Clark Owens is like, oh, he brought some with him. I don't smoke, though. I gotta keep my voice right. I gotta keep my voice right. So I was like, you know what? He's being reasonable. Okay, fine. Not everybody smokes. That's cool. But that's why I brought this. Henny! And Coco's like, oh my God, your brother and I. But yo, I don't drink like that though. Listen, Al's face. When he does that, I'm just like, okay. All right, fine. Very good. Do your thing. So basically, in this scene, you already feel that really uncomfortable. Or at least for me, I felt like as if this is really a strange, uncomfortable scene for Al, because it's weird, not so much this about stereotypes about, like, you know, smoking or drinking or whatever, but it's like, dude, it's weird because your songs literally have those activities in the lyrics. You're coming off a little fake too.
It's almost as if rappers don't live the lives they rap about.
I mean, these revelations. Like,
and not the 66th book in the Bible either.
What are you trying to say, Donald Glover? What are you trying to say? Right? I mean, I'm just, okay, fine. Because literally, when Clark Conti goes into the studio, when he goes into the studio, what does he freestyle? The freestyle literally has lyrics about smoking, about drinking. And you can see Al's face like, what? Like, this is really some old bullshit. Anywho, so he's already been turned on. Here comes the next one, because I think this is gold, right? Whilst he's actually recording, the recording program crashes. Mind you, though, we should have said this before. The demographic of the room. Okay. Brandon, what is the demographic of the room?
So Clark kind of got two of his boys in there. One is clearly the goon.
All right, the enforcer.
The enforcer. The other one, I guess, is just like, he's just like the hanger on, I guess. And then the
Brandon, engineer. Before you go to who the next person is, what are they doing in the corner?
I actually don't know what they're doing in the corner. They're playing poker or something.
Right. So, well, no, I think they're playing a card game. Over in the corner.
Poker is a card game, Ali.
Whatever they're doing in the background there has nothing related to music. And I think that's important to note, because you need to understand what they're here for. Okay? They're not here as voice coaches. They're not here to listen. They're not here to give advice on lyrics, right? They're here
to catch the charges if they need to be caught.
And they're here to bless people with these hands. Okay.
My question is this. If this is his studio. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping it's not his and there's renting it or somebody. Because I'd be embarrassed if he having to bootleg. Because clearly what's going on. The software is bootleg.
Obviously. Right.
If it crashes twice one evening.
That's some bullshit.
That's because that crack didn't work.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What is that? Fruity Loops they're using? You think they're using? What are they using?
I actually can't say what they're using. It looks like Studio One.
Okay. Whatever it is, it's a shifty version, because that shit crashed twice. Right. So anyways, it crashes. And Clark Conti, it's like, Brandon, how do I describe this? The mood swing is
bipolar.
I didn't want to use that word. I was trying to find another word, Brandon. But since you put it out there, fine.
Bipolar.
Okay. So here's the deal. He's like, what's going on? It crashed. Man. Don't crash it again.
If it crashes again, I'll crash my foot up.
I'm going to crash my foot up your ass, right?
And then, dude.
Then he says, here's the thing, though. He points out, he's like, hey, because I'm not the only one with hands up in here.
Because he said, like, well, I'm not going to get my hands dirty.
Right.
Like, I'm not the only person with hands.
But I'm not the only one with hands in here, right? So don't crash it again. And then he catches himself and he's like, ow, wait, you fucks with this? Just like, wait, you bitch.
And the enforcer gives me, hey, stop playing around.
Yeah, the enforcer comes up right up to his face. You know when someone is really like, they come up right to your face and you can actually feel the hair on your skin stand up? He's like, hey man, quit fucking around. Quit that shit. And he's like, I'm not messing around. He's like, all right. Because this, yeah, okay. All right, so straight up the bat, you feel a little uncomfortable here because it's like, you know, this guy, he's coming off as fake, but he's also coming off as a fucking maniac.
He's a man.
So it's like, all right, anywho, but the point is though, Al feels like as if whatever's going on here, in my opinion, it's like this squad right here is something that's engineered by Clark County to be so, the sole purpose of which is just to be able to stunt on everybody around him,
mm-hmm.
pretty much. So yeah, right off the bat. Anywho, the next scene is basically, you know, just after another one of Van and Ern's scene. And he's basically, you know, they've moved over from freestyling, just, you know, chilling and shooting the breeze,
and
right?
Clark County's picking around on the guitar.
You know, and yeah. And he's
there. It's funny, they pay him as such to like the suburban, like the black kid who hangs around the white kids.
Yeah, and you can tell by the way he dresses.
He's got on a Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah, it's just...
It's a Hawaiian t-shirt.
It's... And I think... But Brandon, don't you think it might be just like the new wave of like young black talent that's going on right now? I mean, this is like... this is far removed from ye old days of like...
Yeah, like
for
a
example,
Chance the Rapper or somebody. Or like a Drake.
Right. So this is you know... And I get the feeling that people like Paperboy, they're from that
old era, yeah.
Old era. So there's a conflicting mindset.
It's a generation gap.
Yeah, generation gap that Al probably was at a disadvantage of from to start with. So
is this nigga half asleep on the couch? Paperboy. He's laid out.
I didn't listen. Okay.
He's not having it.
He's first of all, he's A, trying to get in the mood, and B, he's kind of fed up of the situation anyway already, right? But anyways, so they're rapping, they're talking about endorsements and stuff, right? And we saw from the last episode that Clark County, that startup company that we saw from, I think, episode two? That studio, his Clark County's manager has gotten him involved with that startup company for endorsements and whatever. For example, like the Yoohoo commercial we saw from the last episode. And then I think it was, they did mention before that he got on the soundtrack for Fast and Furious. And I actually wanted to get on that soundtrack, but you know,
Clark County got it
instead. And you know, Clark County basically cites, hey, it's my manager. My manager is really, really, really good. He gets all the endorsements for me. He's able to get all the connections and whatnot. I just leave it all the way up to him. And you can see the cogs turning in Al's head already, even though he's clearly a little, you know, well, you know. Yeah, but you can see that something's going on in the background. And he's like, okay, he's considering something, right? And we all know what it is. Like Brandon said, this is clearly heading towards a collusion course for, you know, Ern and Al having a fallout about the way Al is being managed, right?
Yep.
So, anywho, I wanted to point out too in that conversation, it was very interesting to note that Clark County, his explanation for how he got won over on Al, which is basically where he cites, like we all know, that, hey, these big companies, they're not trying to put on black people. They're really not, right?
They only got one slot and I got to fight for it.
They just have one slot and it's all of us, crabs in a barrel, fighting for it.
Can I, these dudes in the background,
mm-hmm.
I think the only thing they're doing is counting money.
Oh, just like Darius counting.
Yeah.
Because Darius is counting money in the second scene.
Yeah.
So my question is, whose money is Darius counting? Is Darius counting
county money? Is that yoo-hoo money?
That's why are you counting his money?
I don't know. It's fun.
Well, oh, actually, you know what? That's a foolish question because it's Darius. Darius is gonna do whatever Darius wants to do. So I'm just gonna leave that alone. But it's very interesting what Clark County brings up, and funnily enough, the hilarious thing is, as I was on my way here, before I left the house, there was a commercial that I was watching. And the commercial, I forgot what it was advertising. I think it was like, it's either a car or some kind of a fancy product that only the people who have money can afford. In the commercial, there are a bunch of white people. It's only white people in the commercial.
Of course.
But the song is clearly a black song. It's clearly a black person singing. It's clearly hip hop. But nobody in the commercial is black. And it made me think about what Clark County was talking about, where it's just like, they want us for the music. They want us for the talents that we have. Right?
But they don't want us.
But they don't really want us.
They want Bruno Mars.
Right. They want...
I'm sorry. I'll behave. I'll behave. I promise. I'll behave. Oh, yeah.
Brandon.
I'll behave.
You don't open Pandora's box. Don't do it, man. Man, you scared me. Don't do it. I'm not going to fall into that trap. It's a trap.
Like, Pandora, you are forever cursed for opening the box with the three faces of evil.
Yeah. So, but yeah, so they don't really want us. They just want the talent. What's hot right now, what's hot and popping right now is hip hop music and lyrics over white people enjoying themselves, right? Over products and you know, services that only the elite can afford. But you need to sprinkle on some hip hop music, you know, some R&B, so that way it's smooth. It gets in with the crowd of people who are able to you know, I guess not really stomach, but like they're okay with that kind of music as long as mm-hmm. we're not actually there present in person. Right. And it just made me think about that. And I was like, wow, he has a really good point there. A really, really good point. But anywho, so here they are. So here, I feel like this is a good example for the Fast and Furious soundtrack, right? Because mm-hmm. Fast and Furious, how many black people are in Fast and Furious again?
5 million.
Huh?
5 million.
Black people?
3, 4. Vin Diesel, The Rock, Ludacris, and Tyrese.
Okay. How many of those people
And the British girl. The British girl. 5.
Wait a second. How many of these people are white passing?
2 of them. The 2 biggest stars.
Thank you. Right? Okay. All right. What are the other 2 black people there for?
Coonery and buffoonery.
Well,
the black lady, she's very smart. The British one, she's very smart.
Okay, I haven't seen the last movie. Is that the last movie you're talking about?
Yeah. But she's in 6 and she's in 7 and 8. I don't know. I ain't seen 7. I saw 8. She's in 8.
Oh. Oh, I know what you're talking about. She was on Game of Thrones. I know what you're talking about.
Okay.
Yeah, she was on Game of Thrones. She was only in the last movie.
Okay.
She wasn't in the movie previous to that.
Yeah, if she was talking to her like she did, they knew she was already.
No.
Okay.
Well, they probably knew her, but she was never in any of the movies. Okay. Yeah. So here's the deal. Yeah, the other guys, that's what they're here for, right? It's that safe. We're okay with them, you know, step and fetching and kowtowing and whatnot. And, you know, because that's a safe zone.
You see how they do us? That's the only way they know how to do us.
Okay. Because, you know, Ludacris and Tyrese, they were once wolves.
Tyrese was once an R&B singer.
Right. So just FYI. But anyways, and the music in Fast and Furious is I'm sorry, but there's a shit ton of black music in Fast and Furious franchise.
Yep.
Right. But
Wiz Khalifa and all of that.
Yeah. But how many people in the movie are actually enjoying this music and having a good time? It's usually the white people and the white passing people, right?
Yeah.
And the other guys, you know, the two other guys there, they're here to sweat and to drop these one liner jokes that, you know, oh my god, that's so black. We're just, oh my god, like. Wow. So yeah, it's interesting that he brought up that Fast and Furious movie. Even though in that Atlanta universe, they're probably referencing an alternate timeline Fast and Furious movie. But anyways, that's not the point. The point is that scene ends with, again, the white sound engineer. He fucks up one of the program crashes again. And you know what? This time, Clark County isn't even gonna. He's like, you know what? He's going to take a walk.
I'm going to take a walk.
He's going to take a walk. As soon as he does that, what was that guy's name? Bug?
Bugs.
Yeah. Bugs gets up, walks over to Al, and Darius is like, y'all need to leave. And they're just like, okay, all right, cool. Let's
funny because they run out and they run back in. They run out and they run back in.
Because they forgot the drinks.
Yeah.
They forgot the drinks. He's like, okay, okay, cool. Yeah.
It turns into a complete Lauren Hardy routine, which is very funny.
So here's the deal. You know they beat that man's ass, right?
Oh, yeah.
They beat him. Brandon, I'm sorry, but I don't know if I've ever seen a world where, like, I don't think I've ever experienced that weird feeling where, on one hand, this is funny because I've never seen a case where it's like the black people have the power to sort of
the white man.
Yeah, completely intimidate him to the point where you know he's probably gonna get his ass beat.
Within an inch of his life.
Right after. But on the other hand, I feel kind of bad for him because it's like it's the program that keeps crashing. He's not trying to do shit on purpose. So I'm conflicted here because I want to laugh, but I don't want to endorse violence, which is probably what came to him after this scene ended. But then again, I think of slavery! And then I'm okay.
One, two, three. I hate slavery.
I hate it. I hate slavery. God damn it. Shout out to Dear White People on Netflix. If y'all haven't seen it, please go see it.
Dear White People, it was Insecure.
Hmm?
It was Insecure.
Oh, because they were... Ah, that's right.
They're watching that.
They're watching the fake underground. They're watching the... Yeah, that fake... What was it called?
Due North.
I love it. Wow. That's funny. But yeah. So shout out to that. But yeah, so that scene ends and basically Earn calls Al and Darius and basically tells them, hey, we're hitting up the strip club. He's the one who's gonna be buying everybody. He's gonna put everybody on, put everybody on his tab. Let's go have a good time, right? So Darius, Al, and they bring Tracy, with his broke and was it his
wave cap.
Right. And obviously he's mooching off of... Well, he's clearly mooching off of Al.
He's an ex-con. He can't get a job.
Yeah.
So what happened.
Yeah. So he's just chilling at home playing PS4. Right? So he tags along too. Come to find out that that Earn has rented a limo for the night. He's renting a limo. He's like, yeah.
And pulls up that limo to their apartment complex and
it's like, I don't even... Whatever, Earn. Yeah. You've got things to pay for, but you know what? You've proven time and time in the past that you don't know how to manage money. So let's keep this let's keep this train of foolery going. So basically, they all end up at the strip club, which is basically Onyx. And I wonder, did they just be... Because I feel like as if Onyx was not going to shut down just for Atlanta.
I mean, they might.
Will they, though?
Maybe they shot it like on Wednesday.
Okay, fine. Whatever. Anywho, so here they are at Onyx. And, you know, they get in. They get a table. And right off the bat, the bullshit starts. And Brandon, like... I feel like as if... Oh.
They can't hear you if you're not by the microphone.
Oh, my bad. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, I feel like as if right off the bat, the bullshit starts. And this is where I have like the most notes on the episode. All right, fine. So, Oren gets to the bar. And of course, every time you get to a strip club, you have to basically either you bring your own ones or you have to change whatever large bills you have into ones, mm-hmm. obviously. Eren wants to turn the same crisp $100 bill into ones, mm-hmm. right? Here's the bullshit that basically is going to happen. He offers the $100. The woman at the corner tells him that it's a 20%. The strip club takes 20%, and it's a $200 minimum to actually get it changed, right? So basically, he pays a $100 bill. Right?
He's gonna pay $200.
Sorry, he pays $200, right? He actually, all the time, he just wanted 100 ones, right? He gets 140 back, and they take 40 for themselves.
160 back.
What?
160 back.
200.
Yeah. 200. 160 plus 40 is 200.
Oh, they take the 40. Yeah, they take the 40. 160. My bad.
What was your SAT score again?
You better stop. You better stop.
Did you say SAT or ACT? What do you got to take down there?
It was SAT and that shit was high. Ever in your life. Try me. Why are you like this? But anyway.
So I was packing. I found one of my SAT scores.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Wait, I thought, oh no, those aren't electronic. They didn't send it to you electronically?
I'm old.
Oh. Oh, okay. Oh, well, I thought, why didn't you trash it?
I don't know. I kept it, apparently.
Oh,
okay. For posterity. I don't know. It was there.
Okay. Cool. Anywho. Oh, yeah. So you get... So they take 40 off of 200, and so you basically you're left with 160, and they take $40 off of you.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, I mean, if that doesn't feel strange, and well, I guess at this point the whole point of a strip club is to basically you're not going to the strip club to save money, right? So I mean, whatever, and all this is probably fees to pay the bar, obviously, you know,
and to keep the owner's pocket stuffed.
Right.
Obviously. Hi, Onyx.
Yeah.
I wonder how they felt. Like, them and Mrs. Winters. I wonder how they felt about all this.
Well, for the Mrs. Winters episode, I mean, are you allowed to use... How much of anybody's like name are you able to use? For example, Mrs. Winters...
I mean, you had to see a sign agreements.
Right.
And everybody's agreement is different as what you can and can't do.
Okay.
It's not like a one size fits all. They work out a contract and they work out.
Because I feel like it was kind of weird that Mrs. Winters would agree to allow
a shootout
at one of their stores. Because it makes, does that paint your store?
Well, I mean, the whole idea of Atlanta is everything's heightened. Remember, people think oh, it's safe, you know. Plus, I mean, it's just Mrs. Winters. It's just
People watching this aren't going to think that. People watching this aren't going to be like, oh, this is just a metaphor for such and such. Oh, this is satire. Oh, I don't think... No, people aren't watching that for that. They're looking at this and being like, oh, shit. This is some ratchet shit. I ain't going to know Mrs. Winters anymore. I mean, there might be people like that out there. Just FYI. So, but anywho... So yeah, so there's that. Basically, they already dock him $40 to actually get ones. Funnily enough, he's leaving, as he's going back to the stair to where their table is, the announcer says, "Hey man, don't just look at her, tip her." So Ern's like, "Is that you, God?" And then he's like, "Yeah, that's you with the," and they basically call Ern out for what he's wearing, you know, with his whack ass hoodie and all that. I was just like,
and
wow.
A Coca-Cola shirt.
Yeah, and yeah. So Ern's like, okay. He throws some money at her. "Man, come on, man. You can do better than that." I was like, it's like, come on, man. So Brandon.
DJ Jesus over here.
So DJ Jesus, Brandon. You were saying that doesn't happen. That actually does happen.
Okay, so tell me the story.
Okay,
so you know I don't frequent.
So mind you, facilities. I don't want anybody to think that no, Ali is not some strip club connoisseur. He's not. I've only been to two. And one of them is I've been to King of Diamonds in Miami, basically. And yes, they will get on you if you're close enough to the stage, right? They will get on you if they notice if no one's been tipping the dancers in a while, they will start to sort of not being aggressive or anything, but they will sort of poke and prod at the people that are around the stage to, you know, to get them to tip more, right? The idea is you don't want to get called out. You don't want to be that one guy who gets called out and is not actually being a good patron. So they do that so that way you throw some more dollars on. But yeah, that does happen. And yes, it does get as funny as like how what Ern encountered. Because the idea is, yes, we want to...
public embarrassment.
Yeah, yes, we want to embarrass you, but we don't want to like aggressively embarrass you. But just enough so that way you feel that you obliged to actually be a good patron.
That and you're scared of getting spit in your drink.
That, oh, and also just FYI, the strippers will, they, I know people always see strippers on TV as people who are just like, oh, they're like more exposed geishas, but they will flip you off and they will cuss you out.
Oh yeah, especially in King of Diamonds.
They will. So just FYI. Anywho.
I went to, I guess it was like the Atlanta version of King of Diamonds.
Mm-hmm.
They had a glass door.
Mm-hmm.
I ran into it.
What? You know,
I didn't. I was walking. It was very clean.
Shout out to King of Diamonds. Their satellites.
I don't think it's open anymore. I think okay. PI owns that place now.
Oh shit. Okay. Well, shout out to them at the time.
Hopefully, he installed opaque doors
for keeping clean walls and furniture. They're so clean that Brandon walks right through them. Okay.
I thought it was Kitty Pryde.
You thought you were going to face right through that bitch?
Yeah. I thought it was Barry Gordy. Barry Allen.
Barry Gordy? What? Okay. Why would he be? Okay. Never mind.
That's a mashup for you.
Alrighty. But yeah. So, yeah. As he gets back to his seat and everything, and everyone's having a good time so far. A woman, again. A stripper asks, "Hey, would you like a dance? Would you like a dance, baby?" Well, first of all, Ern asks one of the waitresses, he's like, "Hey, we want tequila at this table, basically, because we bought a table and the table comes with a drink, right?" Mm-hmm. So he asks her for that. So she goes off in the background. She's doing whatever. Meanwhile, a stripper comes up to him and is like, "Would you like a dance?" Right? So he's like, "Oh, well, I don't want to dance, but my girl over there wants to dance, Vanessa." Vanessa.
Is over it.
But she wants to be a good... She wants to be
A good date.
Yeah. And she's like, okay, that's good. Unfortunately...
This girl went over there. She might have... I think she turned around once.
Listen, I counted, Brandon. She didn't make two steps over there. She did not, Brandon. She didn't make two steps over there, right? And she did... You know, half of a toot, half of a, you know, I don't know.
That's, she shamed a little bit.
Half of a wine is what she did. Half of a wine, right? And she turned back around and she was like, "Okay, that'll be $20. And I was like, "Fuck, you talking about?" You didn't even go. You didn't even dance the whole time. And again, I have to push back on that. I have to push back on Earn for that. You should have known this. I don't know how many times Earn goes to a strip club, but you should know this. When you go to a strip club and someone asks you for a dance, you need to be paying attention to what's going on around you. You need to be paying attention to the music. You should wait for the music. If the music is halfway through or any way past that, man, you should have told her, wait until the next music comes around, because the typical thing is she will dance for the entirety of the song. And then you pay her. But if you just say, sure, and if it's like whatever part of the song, she's going to dance for the period of the song.
I'm staring into the camera at the viewers at home.
Viewers at home.
I had no idea Ali knew this much about stripping clubs.
But Brandon, but that's how, yeah, that, and that's how, I mean, for noobs,
who
that's how they
you?
Get money off of noobs. It's like you go over there and it's like, yeah, dance for me. And the song has 1 minute remaining.
Who
and then you feel like as if.
Are you?
Brandon, I have my moments.
Apparently, go ahead.
I have my moments. but anyways, so yeah. So Earn, in this case, I'm sorry, Earn. I can't champion you, buddy, because you weren't paying attention. The song was already almost over. So yeah.
So that was how he got caught up.
Yeah, pretty much. So I can't really defend him in that case. So anyways, so did he end up actually paying her? I think he did.
And then old girl came back.
Yeah, and that's when the waitress came back. And she was like, is everything okay here, sir? And he was like, well, I'm waiting on the tequila, that the drinks that I got with the table. And she was like, yeah, you get the drinks come with the table, but you gotta buy the drinks.
That sounds like tricknology.
That is the advanced course. That's the advanced course right there. Because that is the best scam. That is beautiful right there. I can't even be mad because you buy a table and it says the table comes with a drink. But guess what? You still have to buy the drink. It's like you can buy, it's almost like as if you can buy a table, but just for a place to sit. Is basically what you're saying. You're just buying the table. You're just buying a space. Your corner of the strip club for yourself, you're buying that. Yes, it comes with the drinks, but you have to actually buy the drinks. And I think that's hilarious. But whatever. Earn is continually being stunted on this entire episode. And that's just how he feels. It's annoying, but hey, whatever. So finally, he's had enough.
Before you get there, I need to point out mm-hmm. Tracy has been spent his whole time telling his entire life story to one of the strippers in the background.
Yeah.
And then she finally gives him a dance and she gives him way more steps than the other girl did.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Because that's the other thing, too. You have to also, just like the episode calls on, you have to know how to finesse your way into getting shit.
Yeah. And also Van.
Oh yeah, and then there's Van too. Van who goes up to Earn and he's like, can you give me some ones? I want to give it to that stripper over there. She looks like she's new.
And they cut and to this girl.
This girl.
She's so skinny. This girl looks like Bambi lost in the woods.
She looked like she don't know what she's like.
She's like Farlene in the Bambi movie, just lost in the woods and
listen,
just confused.
Listen, it was like as if she had walked in and was like, hey, can you just walk up there for a second next to this pole? Can you just chill right there? We're missing some of our dancers tonight. If you could just walk past this pole. Because that's what she was doing. She was leaning on that pole.
Like the everlasting arm.
She was. I hate you. Okay. She was like, she was just standing there next to the pool and she was just, she looked like she didn't, she looked like she was completely spaced out. And you know, so Earn gives her a couple of dollars. And I love how Al is just laughing because it's like, man, please. She's been looking that way for 10 years now. She ain't new.
Wow.
She just does that. Like, that's her thing. That's how she gets. That's her way
of finessing.
You know? And again, and I just love how, Brennan, if you could find me the writer as I'm talking about this, the writer of this episode.
Stephen Glover.
I love how Stephen has woven even the most subtlest of these instances into the episode, because it's again, Atlanta is one of those shows where you should watch an episode a couple of times so you can pick up on all those little details, because I thought that was another nice little touch there. You know, nothing overt, but it's a nice little touch. Anyways, by this time, Earn is frustrated and upset, right? So he's voicing his concerns to Al, and Al imparts on him the second part of the advice that he gave at the bar at the beginning of the episode, which is, man, not only do you have to have money, but you should also act like you're better than everybody else. Because if you don't act like everybody else, then why should anybody treat you any differently, basically? And he gives a good example. Look at Tracy over there. You know Tracy. You know his history. You know, but here's Tracy. Tracy's been lying all night saying that he's my manager. And this girl's been on him all night. Mind you, she's a stripper. She's on the clock, bruh. Tracy don't got no money. But she's here with him and she's dancing up on him all night long. How is he able to do that? Because Tracy understands the game. And you're just too much of a square to get out of your own way to make it work for you.
I feel triggered.
I'm sorry, bro. That's not.
I feel red.
After we do the review, we'll unpack this together.
Lord Jesus. All right, Ian.
Okay. So, get love your life. It. but yeah. So you know what? Aaron's like, you know what? Whatever. I don't even know why I'm here. Blah blah blah. The scene ends. And they're walking outside the strip club. You know, thankfully this time, unlike last season, there is no invisible car. It will not be making an appearance in this episode. Instead, we are treated to folks outside actually, you know, challenging Michael Vick to sprints in the parking lot.
The real Michael Vick.
For the real Michael Vick, guys. I love how he's in the shadows at first. And then when Earn actually decides, you know what? What's going on here? He actually comes into the light and you're like, oh shit, that is Michael Vick. It's not just somebody just talking about him. So yeah, people have been challenging Michael Vick all night to sprints in the parking lot. And he's been doing sprints for 10 minutes straight, right? Or six minutes straight, he's been doing sprints. And he's been basically leaving everybody in the dust, right? He's been just completely stunning everybody. Earn feels like as if, you know what? This is my chance, Van. This is my moment. I'm going to shine because he's been running for 6 minutes straight sprinting. He's probably gassed by now. I'm going to make this work. I'm going to show you what a true champion is. You know, I'm going to come back here and I'm going to Vance, like, what are you doing? That's the actual Michael Vick, right? And so Earn's like, I'll go. And Michael Vick gives him the look that I just love. It's a look that just screams, oh, this is going to be easy.
He feels totally sorry for Earn.
This is just another dude. This is just another guy that I'm just going to completely, yeah. And I love how as they're about to run, as the person hits on your mark, you know, go, it freezes and then it goes to this, was it this 80s track? What is this, Brandon? This kind of like a, you know, this kind of music when you're for those old movies, those old.
It was like a 70s, like a stinger, like for a transition in an old movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. When a movie
ends and the person is like, they freeze the frame in an action and you know, it's like, oh, what could happen next? You don't know, but it's a mystery, but whatever's happening here is awesome. Man. Quick take to back in the limo. And Vanessa's on the other side. He's on that side, she's on the other side. And she has this face on. And she just looks at him and she's like, it's Michael Vick. It's like I almost wanted to say it's Michael fucking Vick. Okay. And the episode
you can't ends. Outrun Michael Vick.
It's Michael Vick.
Is that?
Like, yeah. So that's the episode. Episode ends there. Brandon, what did you think of this episode?
I give this one an A. I love this episode. It was great.
I give it an A as well. I really like it.
Also, I learned I don't smoke hookah, so today I learned you don't inhale the smoke.
You don't inhale the smoke, people. God damn it!
I need to get out more.
I thought that because Earn hangs around Al and Darius, I thought he would have at least known that. But yeah,
I don't think. Al and Darius, well, maybe not Al.
I feel like Al and Darius probably.
Darius might, but I don't know.
I don't think Al would even want to take Earn out anywhere. Like, whenever we see Earn with Al, it's because Earn has asked Al to accompany him or somewhere, or Earn has pushed his way into going somewhere with them. That's what it is, right? So, yeah, I guess you wouldn't have known about that. But, yeah. But I thought this episode was really good. I feel like as if, Brandon, do you have some takeaways from this episode besides what we can see that will influence subsequent episodes?
Well, I mean, it's Atlanta, so you can never tell.
Okay. I mean, that is true. But, I mean, I could see a couple of things. For example, the whole manager thing.
Yeah.
That'll probably come up later on. You know,
more Clark County, his wacky.
More Clark County being
bipolar.
As heck, like not every time I hear one of his songs, it's not gonna land like how it did in the beginning from episode 2. Because before it was catchy, and it was just like, oh, okay, I see he's channeling that vibe, Chance the Rapper kind of thing. But now it's like, dude, you fake as fuck. You're doing that just to sort of like, it's almost like as if, like Brandon said, you're not living the life that you're singing about. You're appropriating a lifestyle for your own, you know, your own financial benefit. And then when you're done, you're probably going to, I don't know, go back to college, earn a degree, and then, you know, I don't know, become. I don't know. Working IT or some bullshit. But yeah. Other than that, nothing else. Just Earn basically being a complete square and not knowing his place in the wider scheme of things. Trying to chase after things that are not priority, trifles, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And Al just being completely over everybody's bullshit. As usual. Right. So, yeah, that's pretty much it. So, until next time, guys, Brandon, do you want to tell the folks at home where they can find us?
You can find the Say Something Nice podcast on all podcast platforms, iTunes, Stitcher, Acast, and so forth. You can find us on all social media under the handle at SSN Podcast. And you can find our email, our voicemail, and our donations and all that kind of wonderful good stuff and past episodes at ssnpodcast.com.
All right. And that is a sign out. This is Atlanta Season 2, Episode 3. This has been the See Something Nice podcast. I am Ali.
And I am Ali too.
You wish.
Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.